This is KGVM 95.9 on your dial, or you can stream us at kgvm.org. Well, tonight we're back with Sam and Mary Mascari, Marion and James Kozlik, and we're having this beautiful discussion. This will be the second part of the show here.
Don't forget Cowboy.
Cowboy is with us.
The Border Collie Aussie lover.
Yeah, he's a lover.
Beautiful looking dog. Mm. And our sponsor tonight is Montana Roots, a local aquaponic food source of power greens. You can see their products at local groceries, or you can contact them. Go to montanaroots.org or write them at info@montanaroots.org. All right, we'll get on with the second part of the show here. And just going to throw this one out there. How can we as men, this should be a good one, how can we as men empower women or encourage women to be who they truly are, let their true personality and creativity shine?
Mm. Take it away, Mary.
Well, looks like you have something to say.
Well, we talked a little bit before actually recording, but I have some feelings around men feeling like they need to empower me, because in my experience, I have found women to be very powerful and empowered and in their nature. And I think for me to, I would rephrase the question to how can I support, instead of how can I empower? And I think a big part of what I look for in men, my partner, I should say, is that you do your work and you're not trying to be paternal with me. You're not trying to give me an opportunity to show myself, right? Like you and I are equal. Mm-hmm. And we get to support each other.
Right.
And you help that by knowing yourself and knowing what programs you have from society. Mm-hmm. I think that's a really important thing, that we all get a chance to look at what did society tell me and what is truth from inside of ourselves. So that's what I would say, is if you want to be an ally to women, maybe instead of looking for how you can empower them, maybe look at how you can step out of the way.
There
you know, instead of thinking that you are the one with the power and you need to do something for women, is maybe check yourself, check what makes you think that you have that, is what I would say.
And give space for
women's
you know, wisdom, intelligence, creativity, their unique gifts to be, give them space at the table, like metaphorically, to show up and give what they already have.
Yeah, don't assume you're the leader, because that's another common thing I find with men, is they're assuming they're in a leadership position, especially if it's like, you know, related to, especially in Montana, this is the most I've ever experienced it, but
because you moved from Arizona.
Yeah, I moved from all over the country, and Montana has pretty strict gender roles in my experience, and it's like you're traveling back into 1950s, and you know, like I got my car stuck, and then a bunch of guys show up and don't say a word to me and try and get my car unstuck, and I'm like, wow, you have no idea how many times I've done this in my life, like you didn't even consult me. And to me it's like a very different experience of life, so when I hear that question, I feel a little bit like, well, maybe you're not the one with all the power. So,
all right. So, what came up for me when you were sharing that, Mary, was that I'm wondering if the question originated from our being enmeshed in the, help me say this word because I'm so opposed to it that it's hard for me to say it. Huh. Part patri-
Patriarchy.
Mm-hmm. Huh?
Patriarchy?
Patriarchy.
Yeah.
That we're so ingrained in that mm-hmm. mindset, or mm-hmm. that the decades...
Mm-hmm. Millennia.
Yeah, millenniums. Mm-hmm. Thank you. And so that there's that belief system mm-hmm. underlying the question,
mm-hmm. yeah.
how can we better empower
women?
Yeah,
I think that's... I hear that in the question, but I also hear in the question that there's this desire to help each other find our nature. Like,
yeah.
you, it's not just probably helping women alone. Like, we all, how do we all support each other finding our nature? And that's a really difficult question that I think we're all trying to figure out, because people's nature can sometimes look so different than the things that we're expecting of them or we're taught in society. And especially mm-hmm. because we've had a patriarchal model for so long, we're really seeing a lot of changes happening
at once.
And for some people, that's really terrifying. For others, it's really exciting. And we're seeing the clash of those things happen.
Exactly.
But at the same time, I feel empowered to say I have a little objection to the way that that's phrased. And,
yes.
and I think a part of that is because I have a little objection to the patriarchy, and I'm one of the ones excited to see that change.
Yes.
So, yeah. So, yeah.
Me too.
Mm-hmm.
We're en route.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm excited too for there to be a balance. And I think we've swung way too far in mm-hmm. the, you know, honoring almost enforcing everyone to have like very masculine mm-hmm. what we thought of as masculine mm-hmm. qualities, and not
yeah.
valuing the ones
feminine.
That might be called more feminine
mm-hmm. in even people. Yeah, because I feel like I've really developed very masculine qualities in myself,
in my career right.
and in my life, and now I'm just in the last few years learning I don't mean feminine just in the sense of like you know, dresses or things like that. I mean more of like expressing myself and being creative and things like that. Like, I'm just now beginning that journey because honestly it didn't pay well or feel like I got a lot of respect for harnessing those or
mm-hmm.
for developing those parts of myself. And I feel like that's true for a lot of people.
Sure.
Well,
especially in your generation, I would mm. think. And I'm not even quite sure what your generation
is. We're millennials.
Yeah, we're millennials.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so we're definitely part of that third wave feminism where it's like, you gotta act like a guy and do it better mm-hmm. than a guy. And then we never questioned, are guys even doing the right thing?
Right.
Are guys even doing are they even worth being the role model?
Are they happy?
Yeah, are they? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, so now we show that we can be a CEO, but, you know, what did that get us?
Yeah, that's
yeah.
a powerful statement,
mm-hmm.
Mary.
Yeah.
Or a realization.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And
it really is, because these days, that we're seeing this change happening, and there's more women in the workforce now than there
mm-hmm.
ever was,
mm-hmm.
and guys from jobs they typically had all of a sudden can't function,
mm-hmm.
and they're out wondering, what am I going to do now?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah,
and they're stuck because they're still stuck in their head
mm-hmm.
like, I should be the one doing what she's
mm-hmm.
doing.
I need to be the breadwinner.
Right.
That's
you
my
know?
That's my function.
How come she's got the chainsaw?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You know?
Yeah, if I don't pull out your car, then what do you need me for?
Right.
Yeah. If I'm not needed, what's my worth in the
mm-hmm.
world? And yeah, there's a lot of stories that I think not only hurt women, but also hurt men.
Sure.
From
mm-hmm.
this.
And it's not just stories, it's belief systems.
Yes, exactly, belief systems, right.
And unless we're really looking at them and evaluating our truth
mm-hmm.
and weeding out the old belief systems that don't serve us and don't serve relationships in general, it's a rough road,
mm-hmm.
very difficult road.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's difficult anyway.
Mm-hmm.
We may as well be supporting one another.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess that all sounds like, yeah, question what you're taught and really look inside before before moving forward if you can. That's how I would say, I would answer the question.
Yeah, because now I'm thinking that that word, you know, when you do that, when I think that I'm going to empower you, now it's making me feel like I'm going to take away you experiencing what you're going to experience.
And that you have the power to give.
Yeah. Right. Power over, instead of power with.
I know how to do this and she doesn't, but I can teach
but
her.
I can give her, yeah.
Right. As opposed to, oh, well, heck, she's got a head on her shoulder. She'll figure it out. Let her experience the whole.
Oh, good. So you'll figure out all the quilting things you need and I won't have to be around.
No, you
to...
can empower me.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Jim's taking on a landscape quilt and doesn't have a whole lot of experience on the sewing machine.
What's next? You know? I got to do this. Really? Then what?
Yeah. I think it's going to be exciting when we all get to a point where we can ask each other for help and it doesn't have to mean one thing or the other. You know, like it doesn't have to mean that you don't know what you're doing. Either, you know, either you're asking for emotional help as a man and it doesn't mean you're weak, and you're a woman and you can ask for help on something and it doesn't mean you're weak, you know. Right. I'm excited for that time in life.
It's not necessarily the weakness, it's the commitment to be there and assist, you know, the, have the availability to make the time to be available to assist and answer the questions and listen to the sewing machine doing weird things.
I've been through it already.
And I trust that we'll make it. We will make it. Heaven knows that we will make it. We know we will. Our wedding song. One of our wedding songs.
Our Garfunkel.
Cool.
It's a Spanish song, actually.
Awesome. I've heard that one before.
Yeah, the road might get muddy and rough, but we'll make it.
That's good.
You have to sing it every once in a while to each other.
Nice.
Or after, along the way.
All right, well, in lieu of that one, then how can women support and encourage men to step out of the mold of how a man should be, quote unquote, versus who we truly are?
Step out of the man box.
Or step out of the man box. We're asking for help. Be recognized differently.
Wow.
From both men and women.
Yeah.
Sure.
So I think you mentioned, I can't remember if it was before the show or whatever, Sam, you talked about how what's happening with more men getting into their feelings and emotions by going in these men's groups.
Right.
All of a sudden women are pushing back. I don't want him to think, be like that or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, I think there has to be, at firstly, there has to be, like, similar emotional levels of maturity in the relationship. You know, and sometimes you enter in a relationship and you're at this, like, level three together, and then all of a sudden, like, one partner goes to level six, and level three is all the other person can ever be at, or at least in that period. So sometimes they're just maybe, you know... Usually it's the other way around. The man isn't emotionally at the same level as a woman, but sometimes it can be the other way, too. The woman is not able to, especially when a man gets supported and is like, oh, my God, I can access the power of my emotions. You know, it's like our emotions are like navigational device in the world, and without them, we're like flying an airplane off of like maps. You know, like, well, I think this is where we're supposed to go, but like if you don't have your emotions, you can't feel. That's, you know, this job makes my stomach feel like it's in a knot. There's something wrong here. I got to feel out what's going on. Or every time this happens, I feel joyful. Or, you know, paying attention to our emotions are truly like just listening to the symptoms on the, you know, of our body, like the ultimate guiding machine. And, you know, I feel that sometimes, you know, the most important thing a woman can do is just support a man's, you know, development just by like giving him space to grow. And, you know, I mean, that's what I've had is I feel like Mary's always been so encouraging to me, taking 4 hours out of my week or whatever it ends up being, because she knows it's good for me. And ultimately, I think that's, you know, it's a good partnership. It should support the other person to do what's healthy and what mm-hmm. brings them joy.
Mm-hmm. And healthy for personal growth.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah.
Didn't affect the relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And I like what you said earlier about how there's so many opportunities, especially in challenge in a relationship, to grow. And to me, when I see Sam needing an opportunity to express his emotions, I feel like there's another moment to grow. Like, we have mm-hmm. another opportunity to grow as people and as a couple.
Yeah.
And we get a chance to do that. And one of the ways that, you know, I try and support that is also do my own work mm-hmm. so that I'm available.
Yeah.
We hold space better when we're doing our own personal work and just growing that capacity to hold space for each mm-hmm. other.
Yeah, which if that's like, what does hold space mean? Like, just to break it down, is like you being clear enough in yourself so when I'm expressing a difficult emotion, you don't get colored by your own emotions. You're just mm-hmm. literally like able to just allow my experience without you getting triggered and being like, oh, like mm-hmm. why are you stressed? You have all these things that are mm-hmm. good. What does that mean about me as mm-hmm. your wife? If you're stressed and you're not happy, does that mean something about me?
Something wrong with me.
But even today when we had that, mm-hmm. we actually had a moment today that mm-hmm. where I was feeling a lot of overwhelm and stress. Mm-hmm. And Mary was asking me like what I needed and all these things. And I was telling her, I feel sad and ashamed that I actually feel like I'm not enjoying my life, because I know I should be, and there's so many beautiful, like I'm living my dream right now, honestly. I mean, there's some things I'd like to change, like I wish my house was done. I'm building a house right now. I wish I didn't have to do the work I'm doing right now for money every day of the week. I wish I could do it 3 days a week. Things like that. But I told her that, and I was hesitant to say I don't feel like I'm enjoying my life, because I immediately was worried she was going to take it personal, but she didn't, because she was able, I think it's all the work she's been doing with the therapist. She just was able to hear me, like, this is Sam just expressing what he's feeling. And that's then I felt so much better being able to say that, and I was actually even able to cry a little bit.
Yeah.
And she, you know, really made me feel safe and comfortable, just like, I'm here to, like, you just need to let it. And she even gave me the option. It was so great. She's like, sounds like you have all these things, and I have a lot of ideas on how you could fix them. Do you want to, like, write a list, or do you just need to vent? And normally I'm like, well, I'm in the list mode. Like, I'm like, all right, I'm stressed, I got to do all these things and write it down. And then, but this time I was like, I just need to vent, actually. I feel like I'm paralyzed right now.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like all these things I have to do, and I can't do a single one of them.
Yeah.
And it's because I had all these emotions that were
mm-hmm.
just need to be felt. And they're still there, but I feel like the blockage got moved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Doing work really helps.
Yeah, being able to hold space.
Being able to hold space and not getting confused about taking things personally that are not personal.
Yes.
Yeah, because we all have our own individual experiences, and sometimes even if the other person triggers it, it has nothing to do with them.
Right.
Ultimately, and getting the discernment between when someone is hurting you and when someone is just triggering you for something that you mm-hmm. have already, a trauma you've already developed on your own, is a big, that's helpful discernment to have in the world.
We call it, there's a difference between when we're stimulated. Jim might stimulate me,
mm-hmm.
but he's not the cause of it. Never the cause of it.
Mm-hmm.
Anything you say would never be the cause of it.
Mm-hmm.
The cause is some inner...
somewhere wound, inside.
Inner wound or trauma.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we need to get in touch with when we are stimulated.
Yeah.
When's the first time I felt this?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And once we can recognize it, we begin to heal it.
Yes,
and begin to unentangle and then that's when that's the cure for a codependent relationship.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
And both James and I are identical twins.
Wow. Really?
So codependency, do we know what that means?
Oh, do twins have that?
Oh, we were just talking about that the other day.
I didn't know that.
How sometimes it's competition. She gets jealous because all of a sudden I whipped out this landscape. And she's like, and she messed it up.
I found myself just going like this, just scrunching it. I didn't have any control. I was just shocked. And he goes like this. And then I realized I was in shock that I actually did.
She goes back to the trauma of being the introvert of the two twins, which, and I'm Czech, you know, same here. And then competing with the sister and brother, you
people
know,
coming
friends,
up to
people
you.
People coming up to,
Marilyn.
That's my brother, you know.
And then I don't even know.
Oh, that's so interesting. That's wild that both of you are.
Wild. And the gift of it is, too, that we can generally communicate telepathically quite well.
Yeah, I bet.
Without words.
Yeah, when we did the tanks, the tank works, the flotation tanks, when we did it back then, you had to, we went through a whole, more than just a workshop. Because it was a lot of psychological stuff. And the whole thing there, they used to say, you guys are just different.
You're in your own thing,
It doesn't fit. But I want to go back to that, because I want it takes me back to what we were just discussing here earlier, and I asked, well, what do you like to do is together? And I threw in that thing about doing workshops and stuff. And I think it's really important for couples, especially starting out, to get into that mode, because then you really can support each other, because you're both, even if you're doing different work, you're doing somatic, you're doing
men's work,
whatever you're doing, men's group, she's doing NBC, you know, at least we're on a, we're both doing inner work,
right?
And when both parties of the couple are doing inner work, they understand the other person better. And I could even see that raising our kids. Since she's doing NBC, the kids thought she was nuts.
No, that doesn't work, Mom.
Mom, you can't do that on me or whatever.
Stop talking. Stop giving me that NVC talk. And then I would say, would you rather me talk to you the way I used to talk to you? Get the hell out of here. Homework.
But that's the point I'm trying to make. See, they weren't on, they didn't understand it. They didn't do any of that. They were young, you know, at that time. But that's the same with couples. If we weren't both able to do interpersonal communication with each other, work with each other, we can't communicate. And then there goes the relationship.
I think so many times, like, men are just, you know, the one who really has to do, like, it's kind of like liken it to working out. Like, they're all about, you know, working out in the gym, but the emotional aspect of their, like, emotionally they're undeveloped. And then you, like, work that muscle of just practicing, expressing, feeling, allowing emotions. And I think that's part of what's this cool thing about, you know, the change in our society is the breakdown of gender norms and stuff, is it's finally becoming a little more acceptable for men to feel the whole range of human emotions and not isolate half or three quarters of them to the feminine side of the species. And allow, because I feel like so many of the way that women could support, going back to that question, is I think just encouraging men, I mean, to, you know, do something for their, to get in touch with their emotions. But it's hard if they still have that stigma, like, I can't feel this, or I'm, you know, going to be seen as a whatever.
So I would just like to bring a little bit of education, and it may work for you and it may not. In talking about feelings, the one thing that I learned in my NVC seminars, or my years of studying NVC, is that when we speak of feelings, it's good to say, I feel, with a feeling word. When we choose to use like or that after we say, I feel that, or I feel like, then we know we're in our thoughts.
Can you make an example?
I feel like I'm paralyzed. It's a thought that you're paralyzed. Maybe you feel stiff, or I feel I feel
closed my heart or something.
Numb, closed.
Mm-hmm.
Can you see the distinction?
Yeah,
right.
Definitely.
And so it's just an easy way to access. So I think it's like being paralyzed.
Right.
Or another example. Well, what I remember always doing, as soon as you hear the word like, you know the person went to their head, not to their heart.
Mm-hmm.
Or that.
Mm.
That's a, yeah, a guarantee that you're in your head.
Interesting gauge to test it, or to notice.
And it's been very helpful for me, because that really makes a distinction of being mental or... And they both can work together simultaneously as we catch ourselves. Oh, I mean, I'm thinking that.
Nice. That's
and this
cool.
is what I'm feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And the list and a wide variety of feeling words helps.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I literally had to study the feeling word list in order to have a vocabulary about what I was actually feeling.
Mm-hmm.
That's.
But I would like to interject here too, though. It is. In that one interview this Thursday here, this last Thursday that Jay did with me at the end, I got into that. I feel like a river, and I started mocking, well, so how does a river feel? You know, it doesn't feel. Wait a while, she goes. Let's explore that. And she goes, all right, so you feel like a roaring river. Well, where's that river taking you? Then we did a whole visual, and it got me into this, well, where do you want to go down that river? You know, I want to find an eddy. Why do you want to find the eddy? Well, I want calmness, because the roaring river makes me feel overwhelmed.
Mm.
So then I was able to get into my feelings. She guided me from that feeling like, took me into the visual, and took me where you want to be on the river into a feeling and a need. I needed to be calm. I was feeling overwhelmed. I needed calmness.
That's a beautiful analogy. Yeah. Or exercise.
Yeah. It was really cool. She did that. I remember that.
And so when we are feeling like we're paralyzed, what does feeling paralyzed feel like? And that wasn't so easy for me to grasp. What would I feel like? I'd probably feel
paralyzed,
or maybe frustrated and stuck. I'm not sure how much of a feeling word stuck is. In any event, that's
I'll pay attention to that. That's cool. Thanks for sharing that.
Thank you.
Well, I think it's a good place to talk about getting to resolve. We touched a little bit on that. How important is it to go from this agreement to resolve? Now, what happens when we have unresolved issues between us?
That's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we always try to resolve when there's, I mean, getting back to what we said, if there's the energy and we're both able to hear each other, we'll go at it until it's resolved. But sometimes there's just a point of we both need to take space to let it brew, or, you know, to let it settle. And it does brew a little.
I mean we really have
Do you have something you want to say about that?
I was just going to say, like, I've noticed that the time that we need before we get back into being able to hear each other is getting shorter and shorter when we have issues come up.
That's nice.
You know, luckily, it's not like days or weeks or anything like that.
Usually
it's like, you know, an hour maybe we need just to take a breath and get back into our bodies and feel safe again and feel like we can hear each other and hear the distinction and not take things personally. And
I mean, sometimes we've wished that we had, you know, an intermediary, like a mediator that could be there. To hear both our sides and point out the obvious.
Yeah, and I feel really strongly about resolve and completion. I think partly because my parents weren't like that at all. They had a really just, I mean, they were functioning as a married couple, but they were not I don't think that they were a happy couple, and I think because they left things unresolved until they couldn't be resolved anymore. Mm-hmm. And so for me, it's very important to have just resolve in my life in general, but especially in my primary relationship with Sam, I experience a real need to move through the tough point and keep going until we figure out what is the growth point. Like, what's the thing we get to grow from in here? Like, what did that bring up for me? What did that bring up for you? Mm-hmm. How do we move on? And so far we've been able, with some foundational work, we've been able to move through things. Mm-hmm. And we're at a point in life where, you know, the things that are coming up for us aren't, you know, they're not related to parenting or what I imagine are really difficult things in life. So right now we're really interested in learning more about how to create a foundation where we can have a container of love that can hold conflict and allow us to naturally come back into resolve. Mm-hmm. And I think that comes with experience, mm-hmm, and time.
And skills.
And also
polishing the skills.
Yeah. And when we're in a time where we're in a really healthy place, like looking for someone that can help us do that, mm-hmm, whether that's a counselor or through communication, other couples who have good, healthy patterns, like that kind of thing.
We'd be open to that. We've done that with couples, mm-hmm, before.
Yeah. Nice.
Younger couples.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'd be helpful.
And I liked what you said, Mary, about it sounded to me like committed to resolve.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the idea of it, the fact that you're feeling safe with one another, that it's a shorter amount of time. I was going to ask, do you set a time ever? Do you ever say, could we visit this again in about an hour or even 2 hours?
Mm-hmm. That's a great idea. We haven't done
that. It's more just by feeling. Like, yeah. We need to take space and then we'll know when it's time. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, usually one of us will say.
It's pretty obvious to both of you.
Yeah, I think one of us will say, like, I'm in a better place.
Yeah,
How about you? Are you in a good place to hear? And if we're both a yes, then we move.
Yeah.
We move forward.
But I hate going to bed with disagreements, the worst. Yeah. I mean, I don't have it luckily with you, Mary, much at all, but I've had a series of very unhealthy relationships in my teens and 20s and early 30s, and that was the worst. I mean, it just felt like I was being tortured going to bed with this unresolved, unspoken feelings, and then you're next to this, 2 feet away from this person that doesn't even want to speak to you.
Yeah. And it feels
and
like
you can't touch them. Yeah. You feel like they're gonna
You feel like you're getting punished.
Yeah.
It truly is.
You're in the doghouse. They don't have a phrase for it.
So it really meant a lot to me to hear. It's best not to let the sun go down.
Yeah.
With issues.
You know, with an issue at hand.
And another thing that maybe wouldn't work for everyone, but for Mary and I, we both have come to understand and agreed. It wasn't even explicit, but that we're always open to physical touch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So no matter what, you know, I know that Mary is okay if, even non-verbally, if like I just go up to her and just need to give her a hug.
Mm-hmm.
Like she's, and some people, they're not okay with it. Like, don't touch me. Like I was in a relationship before where, that was her way of actually punishing me. I felt was like, I'm not going to give you physical connection until we're good.
Yeah.
And I get that. It doesn't feel safe for some people. Mm-hmm. Luckily, Mary and I are both.
Yeah, we're both snuggly.
Yeah, we're very.
Well, I'm guessing both of you have the love language of touch.
Yeah, probably.
We have the love language of touch as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Both if you go to bed unresolved, you're not going to be spooning. It's going to be butt to butt. You're lucky to both butts are touching.
Yeah. Even when we have issue, we can always spoon, which is really helpful.
It's healing.
It's healing.
I think the touch says a lot of words.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is. And then there's sometimes sometimes Mary says, could you spoon me after, we've had a rough day or something?
Mm-hmm.
And it really does. It softens me up.
Even though there's a little resistance
before
you. Even
though there's some resistance, it's like it softens me up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, good, here's a connection.
There's a connection.
Forgiving. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's a nice prelude to all
Right.
And I think it helps teach us that we don't have to agree to still love each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We can have a disagreement and we still love and care for each other.
Yeah.
Even just in this way of holding each other.
Yeah. That happened the other day. We were in this little riff, mm-hmm. and it's like that telepathic thing. Mm-hmm. And I knew that it was time for touch.
Mm-hmm.
I'd come up behind her and start giving her a little massage and whatnot. And, you know, and it's really good paying attention to that kind of stuff to just, okay, time to chill out and...
Mm.
There's also a energy medicine, exercise that you can do with each other, and it's called the spinal flush.
Hmm.
And it's Donna Eden teaches a class of energy medicine. There's a lot of other people that do it too. She's the leading person. Have you heard of her?
Mm-mm.
No.
And so what you do is go on, and you don't give any of your negative energy. If you're in a not such a good place or one of the other, you can go down the spine, starting right at the neck, and go all the way down the spine and do little circles around the spine, all the way down to the tailbone, and you can do it twice. To do it twice, even three times if the person hasn't felt a clearing.
Hmm.
And
wow.
That
and
sounds
so to
awesome.
Do it for each other, and especially since you both are open to touch no matter what.
But you said you need to have a clear head space, not feel
positive
angry.
Place.
No.
No,
it's
you
okay
don't.
If you, do.
You can be frustrated, you can even be angry at them. Mm. This is one place, because sometimes if you touch each other, that you can almost sense
the claw
coming at
right.
you.
Yeah.
Or just the energies, you know, you might give them some of your angst.
Right.
But on the spine, doing a spinal flush, you're doing little circles. You can either, if your thumbs aren't real strong, you can use your knuckles.
Interesting. That's a great idea.
Yeah. It feels really good and freeing.
That sounds
it takes
good.
Time to do
We have
spine.
A massage table in our living room always set up.
50 or something.
Mm-hmm. How many vertebrae? Yeah.
Vertebrae.
A lot.
See, that's a great way to make a timeout, too.
Yeah,
we got to take a breath and do this.
And you don't even have to use a massage table. You can just stand and the other person's kind of holding up, you know, the wall. Just stand against the wall so
that's
that you can add the pressure.
Mm.
And it's very effective.
Mm, that sounds great.
Mm-hmm. Well, that kind of leads into the next question I had. What can we do to open empathic channels of communication between us?
That would be one.
That would be one right there.
And then also the candle, putting a candle between you and just staring into your eyes. And there, it doesn't have to be done during conflict. It can just be... wanting to look into one another's soul and see where each other are at.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think a big one is just the check-in. Just having, you know, intentional time that I'm going to listen to you for 2 minutes, honey, and then you get to speak. And a little bit of guidelines, like let's you know, first just try to be as vulnerable as we can and know the other person's going to just listen. And then and if, when you start hearing, you know, your partner, like, oh, she's feeling sad and misunderstood, and I'm not going to be defensive, I'm just going to hear it. I think that really helps us soften and be, okay, like, she's hurt. Even though I feel hurt, she's also hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And just that simple thing of both couples acknowledging their hurt without, it seems like oftentimes it, in relationships it gets to a point where it's like only one can be hurt, acknowledged by the other is like, no, I'm the hurt one. It's like, well, you hurt me first. You know, it's like,
and
this.
And there's the key is saying, I am hurt, not you hurt me.
Yeah.
To own the feeling and not place the feeling, make the other person responsible for your feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of how in our generation, I don't know, it may be still ongoing. But
definitely.
You make
you're
me feel
trying to cover your ass, so you're going to blame the other person for what you're feeling.
Yeah,
you know, it's their fault.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe you can't do this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and so our choice of words is pretty key, and really learning a vocabulary, feeling words that resonate and
right
to the feeling that you're actually having.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes you can just be out there, whoo,
mm-hmm.
what am I feeling?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So disconnected that it takes a long time to mm-hmm. reel it in.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And trying really hard to make sure that you match your words with what you're feeling. Mm-hmm. Because otherwise you can get really... It can be hard to calibrate with your partner if either one of you isn't saying,
your
isn't
truth.
Being truthful. Because then you're like, well, my body feels that you're feeling this, but then you're saying this other thing, and now I'm confused whether mm-hmm. it's in my head or in my body, or it doesn't match, and then it's hard to build that empathy together. Build the trust
right.
and that connection, that empathetic connection and trust when... If one person isn't willing to say, this is what I'm feeling, and it's the truth, this is my truth right now, that makes it a really hard journey. But if I find if even one person starts with their truth,
mm-hmm.
then like when you are really speaking from your truth, I feel it.
Right.
And I can go
into
a place of saying my truth too. Mm-hmm. Like it opens up that connection really quickly for me. That vulnerability
is key.
Yeah.
Mm, well, it takes some open-handed courage to really pin that person down. Mm-hmm. Tell me your truth. You know what?
Well, in a relationship where two people are committed to working on it, it's only when we're highly stimulated that it's tough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, how would you approach if you were in a relationship where the other partner wasn't?
Mm-hmm.
Let's say it's a different relationship.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
A work relationship?
Or family. My brother, for instance, me to my brother.
Mm-hmm.
He's not on that same wavelength. How can I communicate better with him?
When they're not open to
not
being
even
vulnerable.
Thinking, not even there.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Not even last thing on their mind.
Yeah, it's
hard.
That's
hard.
I think then it goes back to you making sure you're clear and you spoke your truth, and it's like you put it out there and you just have to see where the ripples go and can't control another. He really can't, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of getting back to like the women who want to encourage their men to be more emotionally, if emotionally open and connected. If they're not at all interested, like, can't force
you can't,
an
you
adult.
You can lead them to the water, but you can't make them drink.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we've certainly been in that place with your brother.
I hope he's not listening.
That'd be a growth point.
We love it.
Yeah, right.
It's a growth point. Don't worry. You're approaching a growth point.
It's all good.
It's a good opportunity.
Yeah, don't turn it off. Don't turn that radio dial.
Yeah. That's good, Jim.
Yeah, he's feeling like he's in deep.
That is such a tough one, though. Yeah.
It is, and it's a reality that we all face in our lives.
Yeah,
whether it's with a significant other or a work relationship,
work
a family,
relationship, anything.
Yeah, I've experienced that a lot in work relationships.
Yeah,
and I haven't found a good way to deal with that.
Well, I think it boils down to loving ourselves enough to not get caught up in insisting it be something different than it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right, and then
not
knowing
because you have to take care of yourself.
Yeah.
Right, even if it means after a period of time you end up having to leave that relationship, that's also a form
or the job
of self care, love.
Sure.
Yeah,
yeah.
Choosing when it's just time to no longer put energy into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what you ended up doing.
Yeah, that's what I ended up doing. And I'm really happy for it. But
yeah,
I think you're right. The wisdom to know that you don't have to change and the other person doesn't have to change, that you can just recognize it is what it is and be present to that.
Yeah, because we, like Sam said earlier, there's different... We're all on different wavelengths, and we're moving into the fifth and sixth dimension, and some people are holding on for dear life in the third dimension, and it's really hard to be able to
Wow.
relate with someone that's into their illusionary world.
Yeah.
The illusion means is they're holding on, one holds on more to the illusion than to what is real.
Yeah.
And what's meaningful and valuable.
Hold on to the unresolved trauma instead of wanting to resolve.
Stories, old belief systems.
So.
That's good.
Major change going on in our world.
Yeah, that's true.
And in our lives.
Yeah, absolutely.
I did want to bring up one other little...
I was just going to ask, does anybody have anything else they want to add to this discussion?
I just want to bring up an awareness for all women and men. Men have one moon center, and it's right here.
Under the chin is what you're pointing to.
Okay. Right at the, is it?
The John Travolta temple?
The John Travolta temple, right at the tip of the chin.
Mm-hmm.
And women have 11 different moon cycles. And men go through their shift in their cycle every 28 days.
Men.
Oh. And women, and they just have that one. And I'm not clear about what the men is, because I've only just learned about the 11 moon centers of the women. And so because we have 11 different ones, we move through ours every 2.5 days. So for instance, the cheeks are one of the women's moon centers, and I believe it's the cheeks. There's a book out there called something. I'm not remembering it, but we'll find out what it is, and Jim will give it at the end of the program. And when I'm in my cheek centers, I cannot, for the love of me, keep my mouth quiet. Whatever is up is splattered all over the place. I don't know if you can relate to that.
Yeah, every morning.
Every morning.
I have to do a lot of talking.
Well, so basically, when our moon centers are balanced, we kind of sail along. When they're not balanced, when we're out of balance, when there's a challenge, trauma, or a memory is coming up, and that creates imbalance, then we feel the energy of that. So the moon is a free tool to tap into, as you may well know. And so when there's a new moon and a full moon, it's good to research the kinds of work you can do either with yourself or in your partnership or relationships to use that energy to make some shifts.
Nice.
Okay.
Yeah, the moon is like the emotional body.
Sure.
That's awesome.
And so men are more of the sun.
Right.
You're the sun energy, heat, and more consistent.
Right.
The clouds pass you. We're the moon, and we shrink. You know, the moon appears to shrink. And
parts of it are light, parts of it are dark.
Correct.
Right.
That's interesting.
Beautiful.
Yeah, so... I will get you the name of the book.
Cool.
Sounds good.
We will get you the name of the book on the show.
Yeah.
Well.
So that's another way to, another tool to use for self growth and relationship growth.
Yeah, and channeling some of that, me being able to be more and give you more empathy, like the other day. I'm just sitting there. When is she gonna shut up? What'd you say? I didn't say nothing.
There's a cough.
Yeah. He's the one with the cough.
So then I can. That's I never realized that.
Well, I only just learned about it, and.
Good. I feel like at least I didn't. Not listen to you.
Oh, you're adorable.
Well, thank you. I'll take that. Awesome. All right, so we're getting near the end of the show here, and probably a good time to do our checkout.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
All right, same way we did, huh?
Sam, yeah, how do we do that in group so I know next time?
Well, what we like to do at the end of the group is just a checkout is essentially what you need to feel complete for the night. Some guys just kind of repeat what they did in the beginning, but just the last thing you need to say to be complete. And then we do a stretch, which is like a goal for the week, but we probably don't have to do that here tonight. If you want to, you can. So, yeah. So, Sam checking out. I feel enriched and a little bit fuller after this. Like, my mind, I diminished it a little. Yeah, I feel more full. Thanks for catching me. And, yeah, really grateful to meet you, Marianne.
Uh-huh.
Yes. And get to know you better, too, Jim, and share this with you, Mary. Mm. I feel like it was a great, like we could have just done this over dinner. And yes. I hope we do it again. And
yeah.
I hope that what we shared was helpful to someone. And if they have any other questions, I'm sure they can get a hold of you and that you can put them in touch with me or any one of us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I'm out. Thank you, Jim. Mm. Thank you, ladies.
Mm.
Thank you. Okay, Marian, checking out. I'm feeling exhilarated. It was I'm just overjoyed at how much quality connection I feel between both of you, and figure eight flows. And I'm grateful to have the opportunity, Jim, to share it with as many people as will receive it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, aho.
Aho. Yeah.
Checking
thank
out.
You, Marianne.
I feel really good. I feel happy to have heard so much about your relationship and been able to share really openly about ours. And I'm excited to know both of you and know that we share the world, and also that we share the same town, so we can get in touch with
truly.
You and build on this more. So yeah, I feel really a modifier.
Go with it.
I feel excited.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I can feel that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
thanks.
All right. Well, Jim checking out, and I'm feeling a lot of gratitude, and for everybody that was able to come tonight. We did have another guest that was going to be on, and something came up, and I just want to pass along some empathy toward that person, and grateful that he was a catalyst for actually getting this going.
Wow.
Yeah, we had discussed it several weeks ago, and so I'm grateful for that, and I'm very humbled to be able to be with all of you tonight and to share on the air. And Jim checking out. This is KGVM 95.9 on your dial, or you can stream us on kgvm.org. We are the Men's Network Radio Show.
Booyah.